Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Monday morning health briefs now. Dr. Irfan Hafiz is Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Northwest Region of Hospitals. Dr. Hafiz, good to have you back with us. It's the flu season. As you know, cases are up around the country. What are you hearing from your sources in the Chicago area?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, flu season is here. What we are seeing, though, through the holiday season is the number of people seeking treatment or, you know, diagnostics for influenza has really been going up. We're seeing a lot more cases coming through immediate cares in the emergency rooms.
So it's worse than usual this year?
Yeah, it's a little bit earlier. It's many years we don't see this until we're well into January, early February. It's still early to say whether we've peaked or not. A lot of times it's a very short week to 2 weeks where we kind of peak there. I think it's quite not fully the peak yet, but it's we're in the midst of it.
So it could last a bit longer, this outbreak. Is that right?
It's possible, yes.
Too late to get a flu shot?
No, I would say no. A couple things, though, on that. I mean, if you haven't, please do get it. Sometimes we see a second peak where, you know, you see a rise in cases, it drops off, and then a couple of weeks later, we see a second peak. So definitely, you know, don't just look at the first peak and say, it's too late, I don't need to get it. If you haven't gotten it, please do get that.
Does the vaccine that's out now protect against this particular variant that's going around now?
Not perfectly, and because the vaccine is selected early on in the season because it takes time to manufacture, they started to actually see a predominant type after that selection was made. So the match isn't perfect, but it doesn't mean that the vaccine is not going to help at all. It still can reduce your symptoms and maybe even reduce the likelihood of needing hospitalization.
Measles are back in the United States, as we've been hearing lately. It's especially in Texas, Arizona, and South Carolina, but 43 states reported cases last year. That's the largest outbreak in decades. So is this because people stopped getting the measles vaccine, Doc?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. We've seen quite a bit of year-over-year decline in getting measles vaccination, and with that, we're starting to see more and more of these outbreaks. This is the worst since 1992, so a lot more cases now than we've had in a long time. And 93% of the cases were among people that were either unvaccinated or we just couldn't verify their status at all. So the number of cases has really gone up.
Do you know of many cases here in the Midwest right now?
Not as much, though we are keeping an eye on that because it's been so long, a lot of doctors who are younger have gone through training even 10, 15 years ago and never have seen a case of measles. So it's something that we have to just have a heightened awareness of. So if something doesn't look right, especially with a fever or rash, that we need to keep measles in consideration.
Let's move on to the latest research on the health benefits of walking. It now looks like one long walk is better than a couple of short walks. Is that right?
Yeah, this was an interesting study that really was looking at the benefits of walking. They were kind of looking at, is it better just to count the number of steps? Because a lot of your watch and phone apps can do that now versus actually having a longer walk altogether, and it does look like having that longer continuous walk seems to have more health benefits there.
It's a pretty large study, thousands of people, and most of these people were over 40, weren't they?
Yes, that they were.
So how long should we walk, and how many steps? Is there a recommendation now?
Well, probably trying to get at least around at least 8,000 or above would be nice. Trying to get about 15 minutes or longer definitely does have some benefit. Trying to get that all at once around a 15-minute walk as opposed to, you know, a lot of times we think, oh, we're busy, we're going to do 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there. Trying to get that, you know, the scheduled 15-minute walk does have higher benefits.
What do all these studies say about the pace of a walk for the maximum benefit?
Yeah, a little bit of a brisk walk, because sometimes, you know, we can do that with a very sort of a, not in a negative way, a lazy walk, just a slow walk, but having a little bit of a briskness to the pace definitely goes a long way.
More now with the Chief Medical Officer of Northwestern Medicine's Northwest Region of Hospitals, Dr. Irfan Hafiz. Last year, Northwestern Medicine experts debunked some common myths about cancer and nutrition. And, Doctor, I think it's worth talking about this again. What they said about sugar and artificial sweeteners was especially interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, some of these are, you know, common myths, especially on social media, that are quite out there, that really don't have a lot of basis. You know, one is, you know, does sugars, you know, feed the cancer? So if you go on a low sugar diet, that it can, you know, cure or reduce the progress of your cancer. There's really no evidence of that. The other one is the myth that I get asked about all the time is artificial sweeteners. Do they lead to cancer risk? And no, there's really no evidence in humans that they lead to any cancer risk. So it's really not something that I'm too worried about as far as sugars are concerned.
What did you make of what they said about organic foods and also juicing?
Yeah, so that's the other ones there. So organic foods have not been shown to be superior in terms of cancer prevention than the regular types of foods that we get that are not organically grown. So, you know, you may do that as a personal preference, but in terms of overall health benefits, there seems to be minimal to no benefit of going to the organic. In terms of juicing, really, you know, a lot of people do that as part of their training. I think there is some benefits in terms of, you know, being able to get some other nutrients in. But in terms of cancer, it's probably really not. The most important thing is by juicing is we're taking the fiber out. And fiber is really important for our gut health. So we definitely want to have those fruits and vegetables whole and, you know, eaten rather than just juiced.
What did you make of what was in the report about supplements?
Yeah. Again, supplements, no real evidence. Now, if you do have any medical issues or nutritional deficiencies, yes, the supplements are helpful. But if you otherwise are able to have a normal, balanced diet, there is no real added benefit or health value of having supplements in your diet.
Is the jury still out on the keto diet?
Yeah, I think the keto diet may be helpful for some people with weight loss. I think what's more important is really looking at your BMI. I mean, you want to look if your BMI is over 25, trying to get that underneath there, having a balanced diet with fruits, vegetables, whole grains, things like that, reducing red meats, processed meats is another big factor in that. So really keeping those more in mind is going to be helpful.
Most New Year resolutions are about diet and exercise, but good health and long-term wellness is not just about food and working out, is it?
No, it isn't. It's also about, you know, mental health, sleep. We talk about that on your program a lot, making sure that you're getting enough sleep there. If you do have sleep apnea, getting those taken care of. Making sure, you know, if you have high blood pressure, if you have high cholesterol, that we're managing those as well. Just getting those screened is important.
Let's talk about this quest for a drug that lowers lipoprotein levels. And first explain what we're talking about when we say lipoproteins.
Yeah, so we do know that, you know, high levels of cholesterol can build up in the arteries and lead to heart disease and stroke. And as the science of cholesterol is really advanced, we do know that, you know, diet plays a role, but it only goes so far that, you know, there are some people who have genetic factors where they do produce more cholesterol. And in this particular one, what you're referring to is a substance called lipoprotein A. And that is something that you can't control with your diet, but it is a genetic predisposition to create this this protein as lipoprotein. So it's a fat and a protein molecule combined that can also add to your overall cholesterol health or lack thereof. So, you know, and your doctor can screen for that with some blood tests, but it's should emphasize, we don't want to overly focus just on that. If your cholesterol is high, first consulting with your doctor on your diet, and there are some other medications like statins that you can take to help reduce that. If besides that, if the lipoprotein is high, then I think there is some benefits of focusing on that as well.
Yeah, I think most people are confused. They get a physical and they see cholesterol numbers for HDL, LDL, and total number, and then triglyceride numbers. What should we know about all of that?
So the total number is obviously is important there, and that's just the first step. Now, the HDL is the good cholesterol. We want more of that, and that type has actually been higher numbers have been shown to have less risk of heart and stroke disease. Now, but then you look at the bad cholesterol, which is the LDL. You want to see that number lower, and the triglycerides. Now, there are certain types of genetic conditions and familial conditions that can lead to one or the other being high, and some of it's diet as well. So, and then there are some specific drugs that can manage those higher triglycerides or the LDL cholesterols.
How much does family history play in
a
all
lot.
Of that?
It does a lot, and the type of genetics you have do play a lot. Your diet does play a role, so definitely, you know, what we talked about earlier with, you know, having that healthy diet, less of the, you know, the red meats and the processed meats is important there. But also we need to, you know, if we do have certain genetic conditions, that diet is not going to be enough, and the drugs really help.
So you get to a point then where no matter how much exercise you do or how good your diet is, you may not be able to get those numbers as low as they should be. Is that it?
Yeah, some families just, some people with certain familial characteristics just cannot do that no matter how much they try. Now, if you're diabetic, that puts you at additional risk, which is also familial. So if you do have a family history of diabetes, definitely need to know your cholesterol numbers, get those checked, talk to your doctor about what needs to be done next.
Dr. Irfan Hafiz, Chief Medical Officer of Northwestern Medicine's Northwest Region of Hospitals. Thank you, as always, Doctor. Appreciate it.
Thank you.